And now here's your moderator from Minds Over Matter, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a wonderful weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is, was, and always will be an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation right now. It's a great time to call in. Please give us a call at 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. First of all, I want to thank everybody who called last week and pledged to KALW in general. And, of course, because you liked Minds Over Matter, we appreciate that very much. And it means a lot to us. So thanks a lot. And again, the number here is 415-841-4134. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. And, of course, I want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And since the lovely Debbie Kennedy is here tonight, celebrating her birthday, happy birthday, Debbie. And she will be handling the podcast of the show, which will be uploaded or downloaded, depending on the way you use the phrase, right afterwards at kalw.org. And you can listen to some of our older shows, too, if you get bored with our newer shows. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here is the first. Jerry Nachman was glad that the cops finally busted the notorious chess-playing gang at Market and Fifth Street, and he hopes the police will now turn their attention to the even more dangerous bocce ball ring in Golden Gate Park.
They're tough.
Okay, thank you, Dana. Well, it's looking like yet another year is going to pass, and Laurie Fisher will not be playing for the Giants, winning an Emmy, and alas, not becoming Miss America. Then again, no Giant playing Emmy winning Miss America is likely to be on Minds Over Matter.
That's for
damn sure. Has the best gig of all.
Yeah.
It's true. And with rake in hand, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, watched the leaves of brown come tumbling down that September in the rain.
So that
How
is
about
us.
That? Mr. Poetry.
That's an old song by Harry Warren and Al Dubin.
Yeah.
And we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, why is the Fig Newton so named?
The Fig Part or the Newton Part?
The whole thing.
Because it comes from Newton, Massachusetts.
That's right.
That doesn't explain the fig part.
It's true. That's made out of figs.
What was
fig filling. I never liked them.
Me neither.
Are you finished?
Now we're going to hear from the fig lobby.
Like cardboard.
No, it's like sawdust.
Sawdust, yeah. All right.
What is Pacifica Radio's most popular show?
I mean, since we left?
Yeah, right.
Based on audience size, right?
Yeah.
Not what people like or give money to. Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know what the measure is, but...
Yeah. Is this poll taken from the American Communist Party, or...? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, really?
We used to be on KPFA. Let's see. Well, I think their highest profile show is Democracy Now!
Very good. That's right.
Yeah.
The Amy Goodman show.
Yeah, Amy Goodman. Okay. Oh, God, I can't find it.
Do you have something I can't answer?
Yeah, well. What American food staple has recently taken South Korea by storm? 36,000 restaurants selling this item have opened in the last 10 years.
So it's a recent thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's American food staple. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, let's go with the hamburger.
No.
The Fig Newton. They love the Fig Newton over there.
Would this be in the fast food realm?
I'm not giving you any hints at all.
Wait, he's turned on you.
A lot of bitterness in his voice.
Yeah, there is.
All right. Why don't you read the question once more, Jerry?
What American food staple has recently taken South Korea by storm? 36,000 restaurants selling this item have opened since 2003.
36,000?
They sell other items too, right? There's not just exclusively this item.
I don't know.
36,000? Oh, wow. That's a lot of restaurants.
That's a lot of restaurants.
In a relatively small country.
Yeah. There really is.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Union City.
Hello.
The first question refers to your opening song.
Yes.
When Benny Goodman's big band performed the song live, what did Red Norville do at the end of the song?
What did he do at the end of
the vibraphone? He needed to do something with his vibraphone at the end of the song. What did he do?
did something with his vibraphone.
How many things can you do with a vibraphone?
Didn't smash it, did he?
I don't know. Set it on fire, Jimi Hendrix style.
Yeah.
No.
At the end of the song, what did he do with his vibraphone? I don't know.
He tipped it over.
Really?
Yeah, you can hear it on one of the recordings. He tipped over his vibraphone set.
On purpose?
Yeah, on purpose. Okay.
It's kind of like The Who.
All right.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my second question. It's refers to the Emmy Awards. I got this from one of the magazines that was sent in the Chronicle. Who was the only actress to win more Emmys than any other for her work on the same series?
The same series.
Can you tell us how many she won?
I don't know. I didn't read that. I only got a brief glimpse of the question.
Oh, okay. Debbie R. Bordop says Candace Bergen.
Yes.
Very nice.
Very good. Very good, Debbie.
Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. So this, not, we'll get out of the Fig Newton realm and move to the Shakespearean realm. All the answers to this question are the names of title characters in Shakespeare's plays.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I want to know which three title characters have the most lines and which three have the least lines. And it's where there's two provisos. One is I'm eliminating all the Henrys. There's too many and too many parts. So none of the answers are Henry 4, 5, 6, or 8.
You mean the title character?
Yeah. I'm only asking for title characters.
Okay. Okay.
And then the other thing, if you think it's the Two Gentlemen of Verona or the Merry Wives of Windsor, it's not them. So these are all people with actual names.
Well,
which three have the most
lines?
So
Henry V would have the most lines because he's in a couple of different
He would be in plays. The top three, but
all
it's
right.
just confusing.
But you're eliminating
I'm
that.
I'm eliminating
okay.
him.
I know Hamlet has the most lines.
By far. Yeah,
yes.
Almost 1,500.
Right.
So that's number one. So we'll even take the next three after that. They're harder to get. So top three after Hamlet and the bottom three.
So and they all have to be mentioned in the title.
They do.
And you're taking the not all the historical plays, just the Henry plays.
The Henrys are out. The rest are in.
Okay.
You can have a couple guesses each.
All right. Go over everything that you want to get.
Okay. So I want I want of the title characters of Shakespeare's play. Which three have the most lines, and which of the three title characters have the least lines, and Hamlet's on the top. It's kind of well known. He has 1,500
lines.
Well,
most lines would have to be King Lear, I would think.
King Lear is not in the top three.
Wow.
Oh.
He's number eight.
Gee.
Wasn't, yeah, I was surprised, too.
Oh, boy. I used to know the one that had the least lines. Was it Timon of Athens?
Yeah. No. Timon of Athens is fifth, believe it or not.
Okay.
So he's closer to the top. So we're still looking for the top three after Hamlet and the bottom three at the bottom. There's a total of 18 title characters.
All right. All right.
Okay, and no Henrys and no Merry Wives of Windsor.
Okay. And because of Falstaff, you mean?
Yes.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, it's Sue from Berkeley.
Oh, hi, Sue.
Hey, Sue.
Hi. Great to hear you guys. I have a guess and then a question in honor of Debbie's birthday. And the guess is for the Korean food. I think if I can extrapolate from the restaurants around UC Berkeley that it might be toast.
Toast.
No, that's an interesting guess. No.
Okay.
36,000 restaurants.
My question in honor of Debbie's birthday is what other famous Debbie was born on this date?
Debbie seems to know that.
All right, Debbie thinks she knows. Go ahead, Debbie. Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Norville.
She said Debbie Gibson. Is it Debbie Gibson?
No.
Is it Debbie Reynolds?
If Debbie Gibson was also born, it's getting pretty uncanny. It's not Debbie Reynolds.
Is it Little Debbie?
Debbie
Gibson. okay. Debbie.
Who's Debbie Gibson, by the way?
She's a singer from the 1980s.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, we need another famous
So
Debbie.
Was this person known as Debbie or Deborah?
Debbie, I think. But, you know, better known.
Better known as Debbie. Debbie.
Better known as Debbie. And you said Debbie Reynolds already.
Well, somebody did. Debbie, and it's not Debbie Reynolds.
It's not Debbie Gibson.
Not Reynolds or Gibson.
All right.
Debbie Allen?
Oh, that's good. Debbie Allen.
Debbie Allen? No.
Nope.
All right. What area of... of career to this person was this person in?
Upholstery.
Sappy music.
I'm sorry?
Sappy music.
Oh, Debbie
Sappy music.
Oh.
Well, that's Debbie Gibson.
What kind of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Debbie Harry.
Oh, that's not sappy.
Well, that's as close as I could
come. Okay, I'll give you another hit.
All right. Yeah.
You Light Up My Life.
Oh, well, Debbie Boone.
Debbie Boone.
Yes, there you go.
Sorry, and sorry to Debbie Kennedy. So she has Debbie Gibson and Debbie Boone. Wow.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank
Happy
you,
birthday,
Sue.
Debbie.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, let's see here. All right, let's ask an Emmy question. What was the first comedy series to win the Emmy Award 3 years in a row? What was the first comedy series to win the Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series 3 years in a row?
Well, I don't want to say the obvious, I Love Lucy, but that's too obvious.
I Love Lucy never won 3 years in a row, no.
Okay.
And The Honeymooners didn't last 3 years.
No, that was only on for a year.
So is it, it's later, I bet. Is it MASH?
It's before 1980, I'll give you that.
Okay, well, MASH, okay. How about the Dick Van Dyke Show?
No. No.
Mary Tyler Moore Show?
No.
We're in that right era?
So I'm like, although I think Mary Tyler Moore did win 3 years in a row, but this is not, this is before that.
Okay.
So what was the first comedy series to win the Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series 3 years in a row?
Andy Griffith Show.
No.
Is it a black and white show?
It is a black and white show.
Okay.
Yes.
I Spy.
That's not a comedy. And
like an adventure.
Black and white, though.
Was it?
It's black and white.
It was. Was it all?
I'm thinking the last year, maybe.
Yeah. I think it was mixed. Yeah, very good.
Good. Okay.
Again, what was the first comedy series to win the Emmy Award for Best Comedy Series 3 years in a row?
Okay.
Second question. Between 1917 and 1929, this person was nominated for the Nobel Prize 12 times.
Oh, my goodness.
The Nobel Prize in Medicine, just to be clear. Between 1917 and 1929, this person was nominated for the Nobel Prize in Medicine 12 times until a committee decided this person's work had no scientific value, so he never was awarded the Nobel Prize.
Wait, they decided after being nominated so long,
they appointed a committee to look into this person's work, and decided it had no scientific value. Who was this person?
Can you tell if it was in like chemistry or physics or?
I said it was medicine. In medicine.
Medicine. Oh.
Medicine.
Oh. Freud.
Freud. That's correct.
Wow.
That's very good.
Very good.
It was a scientist thinking it had no scientific value.
Yeah, no scientific
value. That's an interesting clue. Yeah. Wow.
I was gonna guess Dr. Schweitzer.
All right. on a related note, who were the first and latest Jewish winners of the Nobel Prize for Literature?
The first.
So I'm looking for two answers here. Who was the first Jewish
and the most recent
winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature and the latest Jewish Nobel Prize for Literature winner? I should say the first one is known more as a philosopher. Okay?
Even though he won it for literature.
Yes.
They're both men, right?
He did a great deal of writing, but probably his greatest fame is as a philosopher.
Can you give us a decade?
The first one is in the 20s, and I'm not going to tell you the other decade.
Okay.
So between who was the first Jewish winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature, and who was the latest winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature who happened to be Jewish? And the first one was in the 1920s.
And they're well known as Jewish. Right. This is not. We won't be surprised.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Is the most recent Sal Bellow?
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. And again, I'll say that the first winner is known principally as a philosopher. Still studied very much.
Okay.
Hmm.
And
it's not Freud again, right?
It's not Freud again.
Okay. I mean, no. that,
he never won.
Good point. For literature or, well, we don't
not
for medicine.
Literature, no. Yeah. No.
Although he was nominated for the Lit Prize, too. I found out that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, he was.
I'm not even aware of the nomination
I think because they
process.
couldn't get him any traction in medicine, they would nominate him for
His
Lit.
People. Yes, his yeah. people are out yeah. there. Yeah, so. I didn't know there was a formal nomination process.
There is.
And they're announced.
I think it's evolved over the years, but yes.
1920s, Jewish, right. Okay, but it's literature, but mostly a philosopher.
Right,
okay.
Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is RJ from San Francisco.
Hi, RJ.
For the South Korean restaurant food, is it Spam?
No, it is not.
Whoa.
I thought about that.
Good guess.
That's
happy,
extremely
happy
popular
about
there.
That.
In Hawaii,
is it really?
Yeah.
No, in Korea, too.
In Korea, too?
Oh, maybe extremely.
Maybe it's Spam on Toast, maybe. Combining the other yeah. answer.
No, that is a good guess, but no.
I'm sorry, anything else?
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
It is me. Okay, this is Colette from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi. I'm going to read you a quote from a 20th century head of state,
mm-hmm.
and he's speaking about another 20th century head of state, and if you would tell me who is quoted and of whom is he referring to.
We can try.
And I will have to leave out one word because it would be a dead giveaway.
Okay.
He says his name.
Okay. Here's the quote. That senile old rascal, he raged at his ministers. If ever that silly old man comes interfering again with his blank, I'll kick him downstairs and jump on his stomach in front of photographers.
Wow.
So this is a statesman?
Yeah.
A head of state.
One 20th century head of state talking about another 20th century head of state.
So he refers to him as a silly old man.
Yeah.
And he's also talking about his ministers, so it's a not an American.
Right, right.
Is it European?
Yes.
You kick him down the stairs. Yeah.
Is it sort of World War II or slightly before World War II era?
Let's see, slightly before. Now you'll know it.
Sure. Must be Churchill they're talking about.
No.
Okay.
Silly old man.
Jump on his stomach.
Yeah.
Is Hitler involved in this?
Right. Hitler's quoting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what Hitler said about...
Uh-huh.
Is Some he talking about guy. Neville Chamberlain?
Yes.
Wow.
All right.
That's it. Okay. And I have a guess for the South Korea one.
Yes.
Pizza?
Pizza.
No, good guess, but
okay.
No.
Thank you.
Very good guess.
It's especially as an American staple
yeah,
food.
Yeah. Right, right. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to join us here on Minds Over Matter, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And Jerry, it's your turn.
All right. I'll ask it. What nation boasts the world's richest population with a per capita average income of $400,000? Also, what is the median income of U.S. households?
Okay, so is it Abu Dhabi?
So you can answer either or both.
I'm trying Abu Dhabi on the first one.
No.
Okay. It's got to be. Oops, we lost our map.
I'll give you one guess on the cities. I mean, the countries.
The country.
Yeah. Is it Monaco?
No.
It can't be too big a country and
for
have
400,
because
yeah.
you can't have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have too many.
$400,000.
Good logic.
Yeah. Dubai? How about Dubai? I'll take that as my second guess.
No. Is it a Middle Eastern country, Jerry?
I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
And the second part is, what's the median income?
What's the median income of U.S. households now?
All right. Yeah. Well, let's see. I think it's
within 10%.
The 40s someplace. I'd say 45,000.
That's within 10%. 51,000.
Okay.
Very good.
That's the median, huh? 51.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're still looking for...
What nation boasts the world's richest population with a per capita average income of $400,000?
All right. And let's go do a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. It's Brian from San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
Hi there. I have a question.
Yes.
And the question is, who is the first actor to win 3 Oscars?
Walter Brennan?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Good. Which movies do you know?
The Westerner was one.
Yeah, and the other
and
two.
Dana will know the other two.
Come and Get It is the first, and Kentucky is the second, I think.
Kentucky. The Westerner was one? I thought it was Sergeant York.
No, I think he might have been nominated for that, but he didn't win for that. So right. it was 36, 38, and 40.
Is that right?
That he won. And
okay. Yeah. All right. You got me.
Thank you very
good
much.
Question.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. The number to join us here is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Or, I have to use my, I don't have my glasses on, it's 866-798-8255. That's the toll-free number. So 866-798-8255. That is the toll-free number if you're in, you know, Fondue.
Dubai.
And it's 798-TALK if people want to spell it out in their...
Oh, yeah. 8255.
Very right. Nice.
Thank you, Debbie. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Okay, this is Kati from San Francisco.
Hello.
And I've got the answer for Jerry's question about the food craze.
Okay.
It's fried chicken.
It is indeed.
Wow.
Very good. Very good.
We read the same magazine, Jerry, and every time...
What magazine was that? The Week?
The Week.
Parade.
Yes.
The Week, yeah.
And every time I read it, I think, okay, which question is
Jerry? Oh, okay.
Well,
you have to. You've
been found
out. I'll have to rule you out every week.
I'm sorry. So I have a question that probably you will be able to answer, which is what Japanese organization has come up with a cute, cuddly mascot to soften its image? It's
what
week.
Japanese?
Oh,
what?
Is it the Olympic Committee?
No, that would be normal. This would be a more unusual organization to come up with a cute, cuddly mascot with purple flower hair.
To soften its image.
Oh, the Japanese love those mascots.
They do.
Yes, they do.
Hello Kitty.
It's not something like TEPCO, the electric company, is it? The Tokyo Electric Company?
No, it's not. It's something totally alien to cute mascots. Totally
is it the nuclear power industry, which is having such an image problem?
No. Okay. But you're getting more seriously close.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Wait a minute. I did hear. It's. Wait a minute. Maybe I did.
It was
read
in the column. You know the part that says it must be true. I read it in the tabloid.
Is it it's the police force, isn't it?
Not quite.
How about the military?
No, but it is that kind of organization where people do wear some uniforms.
They do wear a uniform.
All of the people are wearing uniforms. Some of them maybe orange.
So it's not the military. It's not the police force.
Some of them, the uniforms
but
are orange.
In their
in America, the uniforms are
prison.
Orange.
How about prisoners?
Prisoners.
That's it. They want to soften the image of prisoners.
Right, yeah.
It's a whole new kind of branding.
Good job. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. August 29th, 1966 was a famous day in San Francisco history as the Beatles' last announced concert. These questions are about their concert.
1966?
Yeah, August 29th, 37 years ago, last month. Anyway, so I want to know what the... There were only two price tickets. What were they? I have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. The capacity of Candlestick Park was 42,000 people. How many came to that concert? This is all according to the Beatles Bible, which is a great website. And who opened the show? There are four groups that opened the show. So what were the ticket prices? What was the attendance? And who opened the show? And if you can't get it, we can leave it at
that. Attendance was 45,000.
No.
So the stadium was not full.
Correct.
It's not
interesting.
Full.
It was a trick question.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a Beatles expert.
You're not a Beatles. I thought you would be.
So there were
two.
Dana's not. Two prices. No, I like the Beatles a lot.
Yeah.
There are two prices two prices for the tickets.
There was the low price and the high price tickets, like there normally was. I think now there's even more levels.
The highest was $10.
Yeah, I was going to say the highest would be around $10.
Using the 10% rule, no. And right. I won't say if it's high or low. So ticket prices, attendance, and who opened the show? I was going to throw
who
in...
Who opened the show? This person's obviously a well-known name.
There were four acts that opened the show, believe it. They had to. The Beatles only played for 30 minutes.
Is that
which
right?
Is, yeah. Which is shocking to me. One of the groups is well-known even today. The other three, if you know your rock history, Our listeners will know this.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no solo act. They're all bands that open the show?
There was one solo act and then three bands. And one of the bands is pretty well known.
The Beatles like the old, rock and roll types like Jerry Lee Lewis and...
They did.
And Little Richard.
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry, yeah.
They liked all those guys, but I don't know. Well, Chuck Berry ended up playing with the Rolling Stones once, but I don't think he ever played with the Beatles. Okay. Not on this night.
All right.
So who opened the show for the Beatles on August 29th, 1966? What were the ticket prices, and what was the attendance in Candlestick Park, which had a capacity of 42,000? And as Dana pointed out, there weren't that many. It was not sold out.
All right. I'll just make one guess about the attendance, and I'll say... 31,000.
No.
All right.
Okay. So let's leave those out there, and then if people get them, I have one more.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Judy in Berkeley.
Hi, Judy.
I have a bunch of guesses.
Okay.
Let's see, for most lines of a title character, how about Macbeth?
No, Macbeth is not in the top or the bottom. He's stuck in the middle at number 10.
And for least, how about Cleopatra?
No. She's 11. She's also right in the middle. Both
I
good guesses.
It was a woman. They never let the woman.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Sorry.
All right. To continue guessing, richest nation, Kuwait.
Jerry. Kuwait, Jerry?
I'm sorry.
Pay attention.
Wake me when it's over. No.
All right. last Jewish Nobel Prize winner, Harold Pinter?
That's correct.
Oh.
Yes, Harold Pinter.
I saw the Beatles that same week in New York.
What'd you pay?
The one act I remember beforehand was, I think the guy's name was Bobby something, and he had that hit song, Sunny.
Yes.
Yesterday My Life Was Filled with Rain.
Bobby Hebb. Really good.
Oh, okay.
What'd you pay for your ticket? Maybe it was the same. Do you remember?
Either in 65 I saw them and the ticket was $5. It might have been a little bit more.
You know what? Let's give her both. It was $4.50 was the low ticket and $6.50 was the more expensive ticket. Yeah, isn't that something?
Those days are gone forever.
Way to go, Linda. And you got Bobby Hebb.
My name's Judy.
Oh, Judy, I'm sorry. Yes.
Bobby Hebb.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Thanks, Judy.
Sunny.
Have you heard of Bobby Hebb, Dana?
Very, very.
But I know the song. If you heard
the song
Sunny.
Yeah.
Yesterday, my life.
Well, I know that. No, yeah. Not that Sunny. I know that. Climb upon my knee, Sunny boy.
No. I thought you were talking about the Marilyn Miller Sunny.
Oh, that's another Sunny.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. Sparty Mackey. How are you doing?
Good.
Sparty Mackey.
Yeah. I changed your name.
Way to go, Sparty.
Yeah.
Lori, your question, least lines.
Yes.
Julius Caesar.
That is correct. He has the least lines by far. He only has Julius Caesar.
Oh, come on. I mean, he's off by the,
I know, by
he's,
the
he's out early, just, yeah. And he doesn't speak after that. 135 lines. Very good. Who else you have?
I don't.
Okay.
Dana, your question, why am I pointing? Dana, your question about Emmy, is it the Phil Silver Show?
The Phil Silver Show. That's correct. You'll never get rich.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Jerry, your question on richest nation. I'm thinking Brunei.
No.
And then we're going full circle to you, Laurie, and one of the acts, The Circle.
Excellent. Do you remember their song?
Oh, yeah, Red Rubber Ball, written by Paul Simon and Turn Down Day.
Oh,
great tunes.
Really good.
I have a compilation on it.
That's an expert.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, Circle spelled C-Y-R.
Y-R-K-L-E.
Very nice. And and Paul Simon wrote their big hit song. Very good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Bury in the Remains, I think, was one of the other acts.
That is, The Remains. Bury in the Remains. Very good.
They put out one album. I've only heard of them, never heard any of their material.
So the only opening act left is the one that's actually really famous. So that's
and we don't
good.
Feel like scouring through our books for that.
Okay, you'll hear it.
And I think there was only like 25,000... in the crowd at the Candlestick?
Exactly right. 25,000, not sold out of 42,000.
Well,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was surprised.
Okay, we're done.
All right. Thank you very much.
I saw him in Chicago on that tour, and it was packed. So I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was Candlestick. People couldn't park their cars.
No. It was cold.
Rough. It was cold. Mm. August.
Okay, of the 30 best-selling books of all time, and these are all works of fiction I'm talking about, the 30 best-selling fiction books of all time. What three have also won the Academy Award for Best Picture?
Gone with the Wind. It's got to be one.
That is one. There's your guess. Gone with the Wind is one. Of the 30 best-selling fiction books of all time, what three have also won the Academy Award for Best Picture when adapted into a picture? Or adapted. I always get cold on the carpet when I say that.
So just the one guess for now for me.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have anything right now.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay.
Good question.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
So the question you just asked about the bestsellers, is all the King's Men there?
No.
What about, you know, I didn't get to use my little joke on the Julius Caesar thing. I wanted to say, he was cut short, wasn't he?
Yeah, very nice.
Anyway, for the longest line, I think either one of the Richards, two or three?
Yeah, Richard III is right after Hamlet with 1,200 lines.
Good.
Very good.
Okay, and then so someone who called in earlier about Candace Bergen, and I read the same article, and what I liked about it was that after she won for the fifth time, she took herself out of the running. She said they couldn't nominate her anymore.
Really?
I thought that was way cool.
That is way cool.
And then on your, because you evoked the time of 1966, I just saw an old Esquire from 1966, and they had their worst awards. Do you know what picture won the worst beach party award?
The worst beach party movie?
In 1966.
Oh.
Huh.
It's a good laugh.
Almost any of them, I would guess.
That's after, Where the Boys Are is before that.
Yeah.
Beach party.
Did it have a, I mean, did it have a title that was evocative of that? Of
no.
A
no. It was one of those serious movies.
It was a serious movie. How about On the Beach?
How about with Liz and Richard?
Oh, The Sandpiper. Yeah.
It's a great beach movie.
I just want to ask you, I don't think actors are allowed to remove themselves. They still get nominated, don't they? But they don't have to accept it.
No, I think she really made a point to them and got herself out of it.
Okay.
That's what I got from the article.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Thomas.
All right.
Bye-bye.
It's one of those best-selling books, Grapes of Wrath?
No.
Oh. That's my other guess.
And that was not Best Picture anyway.
Oh.
It didn't win?
No.
Okay.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry?
What nation boasts the world's richest population with a per capita average income of $400,000? And I think that's all.
And my open questions are about the title characters of Shakespeare plays after Hamlet and Richard III, which two have the most lines and which two have the least amount of lines? I think Sparky got Julius Caesar, and I'm looking for the next two bottom on the list. They're all title characters.
And of the 30 best-selling fiction books of all time, what three have also won the Academy Award for Best Picture? And Lori got one, which was Gone with the Wind. What are the other two? And I think that's it.
The Jewish Nobel Prize.
Yes, that's right. Who was the first? We got the second part of the question. Who was the first Jewish winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature? It was in 1927. I'll give it to you.
How about Martin Buber?
That's a good guess, but no.
Is it American?
Because you said he's more of a philosopher.
Yes,
right?
And this person was known principally as a philosopher, but obviously did a certain amount of writing as well.
American?
Not American.
Okay.
Not American. European.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, this is Fred from West Virginia with a California question.
Okay, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Okay.
Okay, Senator McCain recently came out and called a group of Californians immature and arrogant. Who is he referring to?
He's always mad at something.
The Minds Over Matter panelists. Is that it?
No.
Okay. Immature and arrogant.
This is a group
of for something a group of Californians did last week.
Oh, I know what it was. The baseball team, the Yankees, who went swimming
in Arizona swimming pool.
In their swimming pool.
Yeah, right. The Dodgers went in.
And McCain took time off for calling for war. Blame.
I know.
The Dodgers for being in
the. Shows he's got a lot of sides to him.
He's outraged. It was an attack on.
Well, he's used to losing, you know.
Yeah.
So. But
our American values in peril
the richest
again.
Richest nation in the world.
Yes.
What was the name?
Vatican City.
No.
Oh.
No.
Well.
Just one resident, maybe the Pope.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I don't think he's that rich. The Pope's not that rich, is he?
Well,
he has no income.
The church. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't earn that much.
Who knows what goes on behind the scenes?
How much does he earn, by the way? Yeah.
I thought 400,000. That was it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Fred.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yes, Ed, how are you?
Good.
Very good. So last week we talked to somebody asked about Venus, and it does have the longest day in the solar system, 244 Earth days for the day, and only 224 day Earth day for the year. So my question actually relates to that. Something huge hit Venus in the past, not only made it go backward, but also go so slow. And that can happen to Earth, it can happen to anything. So this object, they come in two classes. One is called Trojans, and one is called Apollos. Do you know what are they?
Mm-hmm. Well,
astronomical.
Then there
is a question.
Are they
Apollos and Trojans?
Not Apollos, meteors, not meteors. Meteors?
Well, you're very close.
Comets.
No.
Asteroids.
Other kind.
Asteroid.
Asteroid it is.
All right.
What is the difference between the two?
A meteor and an asteroid?
No, between comets and asteroids.
Oh, a comet is very little solid, and the tail is mostly gaseous or something, isn't it?
That happens later on as you come close to the sun. I'll give you the answer very quickly.
All
because,
right.
Okay, all of the asteroids, they exist between the sun and Jupiter. If they only exist between Mars and Jupiter, they are called Trojans. They don't come near Earth. Apollos are the ones that come close to the orbit of Earth, which are more dangerous to us. However, there's always collision between different asteroids, and eventually you get some Trojans that come Apollos, and they will represent danger to Earth, and eventually one of them will zap us, as they did probably Venus, and do all kind of things. My favorite music, can you tell me what it is? Here it is. Do you know what it is?
I didn't hear that.
I can't hear
it. I'll put it louder.
It's the Hungarian dance.
Yeah, the Brahms Rhapsody number 4.
Which one?
Number 4.
No? Okay, 4 and 5 are very, very close. This particular one is number 5, but since I was a child, this I grew on this music. I love this piece more than any music ever I have heard. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good to hear Brahms working.
It's good to hear.
Nice,
even
nice that Brahms is
even
working.
In a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah, good, that's for you. And Jerry, let's see. Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to impose a time restriction on this one, because if you think too long, you'll obviously get it. So I give you
10 seconds.
No, I'll give you 20 seconds.
Make it hard.
20 minutes.
Say 20 seconds. 5 seconds. Make
20
it hard.
Seconds. Okay. Debbie, run the clock on
okay,
that.
Okay. All right.
Turn
yeah.
on the timer.
As soon as I finish.
So if we think too much, we'll get it or
well,
we'll miss
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course you get it. What is the only state name that begins with two vowels?
Iowa.
Yeah, that didn't take you very long.
There you go.
Very good. Okay, let me give you.
We have 18 seconds to spare.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
we'll have good. Silence.
Okay, and I have to recuse Dana from this.
Good.
What musician later served as his country's prime minister?
What musician?
Famous musician later served as his country's prime minister.
And you recused?
Yeah. Oh. I do know this because I was reading a book that dealt with this recently.
Okay, but no clues, please.
All right.
No hints.
And he was famous as a musician?
Yeah, very famous.
Yeah. Played the flugelhorn.
Legend.
Did he?
No.
Is that, okay.
No.
I'm trying to think of, I know Bono has political aspirations or did. Prime Minister. That's good.
I'll narrow down in a few minutes,
okay.
But right now.
Well, somebody will get that from, one of the callers will get it.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, my name is Mike, and I am, currently on the Bay Bridge, so I'm kind of in between San Francisco and Oakland.
All right. Thank you for breaking the law to talk to us.
Yeah, I'm going through the tunnel, actually, right now, so hopefully I don't lose you.
All right.
Hope we don't lose you.
I have a I have a couple of guesses on the best-selling book.
Yes.
With The Godfather.
That's got to be.
It would be. Yes, you are right.
Good work.
All right. And then on that's my only guess on that one. On the world's richest per capita income nation, I have a couple of guesses.
Okay.
Would Luxembourg possibly?
No, no, not Luxembourg.
Not Luxembourg. What about Belgium?
No, not Belgium.
Okay, one more try?
Mm-hmm.
Monaco.
No, somebody, Dana gets that. No, not Monaco.
Somebody already said that.
Yeah, Dana gets that, yeah. But.
Okay, well, hey, at least I got one of them.
Drive safely.
Hurry. Yeah, be careful before Oprah slaps you.
Enjoy the new bridge. It's
right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
it is. My first time driving over it, so.
Thank you very much.
Pretty cool. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. This is U.S. News and World Report always does a lot of stuff about colleges. This is about which colleges were the most applied to for freshman admissions last year. So I'm interested in which two universities in California, which has seven of the top 10, which two private universities had the most application.
So this is based on size, more or less. I mean,
it's based on just literally the number of people who applied
okay.
to get in.
All right.
So which two California?
Stanford.
Nope.
No.
So I'm looking
right,
for. So here's the question: which two California universities, which private universities, and which out-of-state state university?
So how many do you want in total here?
A total of five. So which two California? Which two private? And which single out-of-state public institution?
So that get the most applications for.
Freshman admission.
Freshman year, okay.
And the one that's first set the all-time record for the most applications this year was 61,000.
Isn't UC Berkeley one of them?
UC Berkeley's fourth, so it's technically not.
Okay. In California, and you said Stanford was not either.
Stanford's not on the list at all.
Well, then UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA was first with 61,000 applications.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so that's number one in the top California one. We're looking for another one from California, two private and one public that's out of state.
San Jose State.
No, not on the list.
My alma
top
mater.
10.
Okay. I figure if I could get in, anybody could get in.
Well,
you know, maybe. You know, students, they want to go where it's fun and, you know, the beach or something like that.
So, Santa Barbara.
So Santa Barbara or San Diego.
San Diego second. Very
yeah.
good.
Oh,
yeah.
Good logic. Okay. Yeah. So we got the California ones. We're looking for the two private ones, both of which surprised me, I got to say, is having so many people apply.
And the private ones are outside of California.
They're both on the east. They're both on the east coast.
Well... All right, I have to think about that.
Okay. And then the other one is we're looking for the other public institution. It would be like the equivalent of the University of Wisconsin or UC Berkeley, but it's not those. Which state institution gets the most applications outside of California?
Well, University of Minnesota is huge.
It is.
It's
not it.
Okay.
Oh, University of Ohio.
No. Ohio State is another one, huge, but not it. It's bigger than both
Ohio
of those.
State. Florida.
No, not Florida.
Oh, Texas.
Not Texas.
Texas. Oh, it's not Texas.
I would have guessed Texas, too.
No. Yeah. All right.
You said the two private are surprising.
To me, they were.
Hmm.
But they must be fairly large.
You know, I don't know the size. I don't think of either of them as particularly large, and so that's why it surprised me.
Okay.
50,000 applications for each one for freshman admissions.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
Okay, I have a couple of guesses. The third book, I think, is Ben-Hur.
Not Ben-Hur. That's an excellent guess, though, but no, not Ben-Hur.
Oh, it's not Ben-Hur. Oh, I'm shocked.
That's a good guess.
For Jerry's question about the wealthiest country, is it Qatar?
Qatar it is.
Wow.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. And then I actually have a question for you, actually. Someone called a month or two ago talking about the longest-running commercial in TV history,
no.
Saying that there was some commercial that lasted 13 years.
Oh, didn't you ask that question?
I didn't ask it. I remember it.
Okay.
No, someone had asked it. But actually, there's a commercial that's run for the last 43 years continuously. And it's run in a shortened form over the years, but it's run continuously for the last 43 years.
Is that the Crying Indian or the Smokey the Bear one?
No, it's actually called consumer product, and I could tell you, it changed a boy. In the original form, which is a minute long, a fox, a cow, a turtle, and an owl.
Sounds like a joke that I once heard.
So it's for a product, but you say
for
it's a fox, a cow, a boy,
a turtle, and an owl. And actually, it's been cut down over the years.
And it's the same commercial. It's the same commercial.
It
hasn't changed.
But it's been cut down. Originally, it was a minute long. Then it ran for 25 years as a 30-second commercial. Wow. And then now recently, even a shorter commercial than that.
So it's a national, but it's a national commercial. It's a national product.
National commercial. It's a product you're all familiar, and I'd be shocked if any one of you hasn't seen this.
And it's a boy and all these animals, huh?
Exactly.
It's animated, or they're real animals?
Actually, it's animated, yes.
43 years ago.
Oh, 43 years. Oh. I guess I must have seen it, but
yeah. Do we have this product in our homes?
I'd be shocked if any one of you do. But,
yeah. It probably embarrassed.
Not embarrassed at all. But it's a children's product mostly.
Oh, so it's an age-specific kind of product.
Largely, yeah.
Oh, Debbie wondered if it was Tootsie Pop.
That's exactly it.
Oh, very good, Debbie. Wow. Very good. Wow.
It's Debbie's birthday. Yeah. She's rocking.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. All right.
Thanks
have
a lot.
Night.
All right.
Bye.
I don't recall that commercial.
All right, I have one more Emmy question left, so I might as well use that today. Who was the last winner of the Best Actress? Excuse me, start that again. Who was the last winner of the Best Actress Academy Award to win a primetime Emmy for a network series?
So this person won the Academy Award.
All right, they had already won their Academy Award.
And then won Best Actress in a primetime series.
Right. Who was the last winner of the Best Actress Academy Award to win a Primetime Emmy Award for being on a network series?
How about Glenn Close?
She never won an Academy Award.
She didn't.
No, she's been nominated a few times.
Yeah. Jane Alexander.
No, she's never won either.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that she's won either one, right? She won an Emmy? So she wins the Oscar and then afterwards.
Yeah, she won the Oscar several years before.
Yeah.
Right.
And she won it for a dramatic series.
Yeah.
Right? The Emmy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people have made that transition, right?
It's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
So who was the last winner of the Best Actress Academy Award to win a Primetime Emmy Award for a network series?
Is the Emmy in the last 10 years? What do you think?
I don't think I'm going to say.
Okay. Even with just 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Emmy watchers, call in.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
You sort of figure it out.
Okay.
And let's go to a call.
Not Gail Storm.
Not Gail Storm. Okay. No. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. He's in Oakland.
Hi.
So my first guess about the book is it To Kill a Mockingbird?
It is not To Kill a Mockingbird. I knew somebody was going to guess that.
Picture,
it's a good guess, but no.
Was it not Best Picture?
It was not Best Picture.
Okay, and how about the out-of-state university, Indiana U?
No, great guess. Getting to the right part of the country, kind of.
Yep. Two down. How about the food? Did the food in Korea get answered?
Yeah, fried chicken.
Oh, okay. Then how about for this? Well, you know, actually, can I do the movie one again? Is it Diary of Anne Frank?
Not Diary of Anne Frank.
Okay. The last one is this one you just gave for the Oscar and the Emmy. Is it Sally Field?
It is Sally Field. Very good.
Oh,
for Brothers and Sisters, it was 2007.
Oh.
Yay.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks. Bye.
I wouldn't have
Bye-bye.
Thought of her.
Yeah.
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 So it gives a whole new meaning to KFC with the Korean fried chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And let me throw in one more question so that was answered. I've had this sitting around for a while. Who was the first woman nominated for Best Supporting Actress from a Woody Allen film? Didn't win, but somebody who did win later on.
Diane Wiest?
No. Who was the first woman nominated for Best Supporting Actress from a Woody Allen film?
Yeah.
And this person did win later.
They won later.
Yeah.
Well, obviously not Diane Keaton. That's too obvious.
As a matter of fact, they won a year or two later, so it was very soon afterwards.
And it was from his early days, like the Annie Hall, Manhattan days, around that?
Yeah, it was from earlier.
Mariel Hemingway.
No.
I don't think she won.
No.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Just thinking of the actresses.
Oh, was... Meryl Streep was in one. It was in Manhattan.
Was she in Manhattan, or
she was his ex-wife, right? Who was writing the expo, the book about his
sex life. You're right. I think.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't Meryl Streep.
Okay.
She was, I mean, she wasn't nominated for that anyway.
So this, they were nominated for the Woody Allen film.
Right.
And who then was the, won for another film.
Who was the first woman nominated for Best Supporting Actress from a Woody Allen film. They did not win for that, but they did win a couple of years later, this person. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
A couple of guesses.
Yes.
For musical prime minister, Vaclav Havel.
He's a writer, I think. He's a playwright. Is a musician.
Not a rock and roller, huh?
He was a pianist, I'll give you that. I'll tell you that much. Famous pianist.
For short lines for Shakespeare, how about Coriolanus?
No, Coriolanus turns out to be the third most lines.
Really?
So I'll give him a bell for that one. Yeah, he's right after Richard III. Yeah, that's a good name to get, though. Very good.
Yeah. And book that won the Best Picture, how about Tolkien's Return of the King?
You're right.
Oh, of course.
Nice work. Jerry's one of Jerry's favorites.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
The Nobel Prize winner in the 20s? Was it Thomas Mann?
No.
Mm-mm. I don't know if he's Jewish, but
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on your car.
Not at all.
Good job on that.
Thank you.
You're right.
I do have a question.
All right.
Of what did George Sanders die?
Suicide. Yeah, boredom. He.
Boredom,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, he didn't die of boredom, but he said that was his reason for writing his suicide.
Very good.
Yeah. It's very sad.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Quite tragic. Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, Dana. It's Sharon.
Oh, hi, Sharon. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. Well, while I was waiting, several of my answers were given.
Of course they were.
Was the pianist Paderewski?
It was Paderewski.
Really?
Very good.
Oh, I was all ready to say Ignaz Paderewski, too.
Oh.
And he became prime minister?
Ignaz? No.
That's his name.
Oh, is that his name?
Is he Polish?
I'm going to guess on the Shakespearean. Is it Pericles, Prince of Tyre?
No, Pericles is in the middle at number 13, but Greg, it's good to hear his name.
And then what was the last question that was asked?
You mean the one about the best supporting the Woody Allen thing?
Oh, yeah. I don't know that one, so that's it.
All right.
So I'll see you at trivia.
All right, I'll see you on Tuesday.
Okay, I'm asking the question.
I'll be there.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sharon.
Laurie, how about Juliet?
Juliet.
I don't think she has a lot of lines.
She doesn't, but she's not in the top three or the bottom three. Okay. She's getting towards the bottom, though. She's number 14 out of 18, so we're getting close.
Right. Oh, Sharon's referring to we do a monthly trivia game it used to be the King's X, and now it's the Grand Oaks restaurant in Oakland on Tuesday at 7:30.
Grand Avenue.
Yeah. No, it's called Grand Oaks.
No, it's on Grand Avenue.
But it's on Grand Avenue, yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, it's Harry.
Hi, Harry.
And Susan in Berkeley.
Susan.
The Shakespeare, is Macbeth in there?
Macbeth is right in the middle. He's 10th, so no.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay, out of state university.
Yes.
The State University of Michigan?
No.
Oh,
good guess.
Good guess.
In California, Pomona?
Nope, not Pomona.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, private university, private colleges, Williams or Amherst?
Boy, neither one. But the colleges that are it are more like that. You know, they're surprising like that. Those are really good guesses. The East Coast, kind of small, wonderful places, but it's not those.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
How about Brown?
Not Brown.
Or Bennington?
Not Bennington.
This artsy. Yeah. Is it an artsy school?
No.
Ivy League?
Neither one's Ivy League and neither one's artsy, but I don't want to. They might be, and I just don't know that.
Okay.
It's not Ivy League and it's not artsy.
But it's elite.
No, this is a hint.
Oh, okay.
Really? Drexel?
Drexel University.
Really?
Yes, Drexel University. In Philadelphia.
Is that your alma mater?
No, but my daughter-in-law is an associate professor there. Yeah, 48,000 people applied. It's 7th on the list.
Is the tuition relatively cheap for a private school?
I think it's relatively cheap for a private school. There's lots of financial
never
aid.
Heard of
it's
it.
An up-and-coming university.
I've never heard of
it. Everyone should look into it. I'm promoting it.
Drexel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's nepotism. Yeah. Anyway, so we're looking for
one. Oh, my God.
This
is like putting a Coke can in the camera shot.
Well, I'd do that. If we're on TV, I would do that. If he's on TV, shamelessly willing to sell out.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi. This is Marilyn from San Francisco.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I wonder if the Jewish writer-philosopher is Jean-Paul Sartre.
It is not, and he actually turned it down.
Was he Jewish? I thought he was Catholic.
Was he? I'm not sure.
What about Bertrand Russell?
Not Bertrand Russell.
My goodness.
Also not Jewish. I
have you guessed all three book movies?
Yes, we have. They were Return of the King, from, you know, the Tolkien, Gone with the Wind, and The Godfather.
Ah, not Exodus. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I think this is I, and somebody already guessed the, I didn't want to be a no-show, Paderewski.
That's correct.
You would have been right, yes.
You're right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, is it me?
It is you.
Hi, it's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi.
I've got some quick guesses. Is one of the Shakespeare characters with the least number of lines King John?
It is. He's third from the bottom with 441. Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obscure.
Is the Nobel laureate Isaac Bashevis a singer?
It is not.
Okay. Is the state university University of Virginia?
No, it's not.
Another... I was going to say Michigan, but...
not Michigan, not Virginia.
We sort of established it's kind of in the Midwest. Didn't you sort of say that?
I said it's east-ish, and somebody said Indiana, so it's it's more east than Midwest.
Okay, and that's it for my guesses. I wanted to tell you guys why Drexel gets so many applications.
Yes, why?
So what Drexel does that's special, a friend of mine went there, is it's you alternate 6 months of study with 6 months of internships or jobs.
Oh, okay.
So you wind
like
up netting out making money from going to college.
Wow. Interesting.
That's what's unusual about Drexel.
Pretty avant-garde.
Yeah, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Another commercial for Drexel.
That Barry and the Remains is an awesome band. Their one big song was Don't Look Back, and everyone should buy their albums.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
A lot of plugs tonight.
Drexel is in Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's right next to Penn.
Oh.
Yeah.
And one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
I'm fairly certain I'm going to get this wrong because it's not the Midwest, but I'm thinking New York University.
No, it's not New York University, but this place is closer to NYU than it is to Indiana, so you're not far off.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great guess.
How about Georgetown?
No, not Georgetown.
Thank you very much. Okay, time to clean up here. Jerry,
I'm clean.
Okay.
Clean as a whistle.
All right.
And a university question, the biggest state university with the most applications outside of California is Penn State, Pennsylvania State in University Park.
It's huge. Yeah.
And the private university gets the most applications, St. John's University in New York. Very strange.
Yeah.
In the Beatles question, the opening group that no one got that surprised me, it was the only one I knew, was the Ronettes, the great Ronettes. And the Shakespeare characters, the third from the top after Hamlet is Othello. Surprisingly, no one guessed Othello. Oh. And second from the bottom is Cressida of Troilus in Cressida. And Debbie apparently got that. She got like 12 questions tonight.
Very good
people.
The first Jewish winner of the Nobel Prize for Lit was in 1927. That's Henri Bergson. Philosopher and writer. Who was the first woman nominated for Best Supporting Actress from a Woody Allen film? It was Maureen Stapleton for Interiors. Yes. Oh. I think that was about 1980 or so. If we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you like the panel this week, you're going to like it next week as well because it's going to be exactly the same people. So please tune in.
Same questions, too.
And well, hopefully not. Please tune in next Sunday at 7. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a great week, everybody. On behalf of myself, Dana Rodriguez, Jerry Nachman, Lori Fisher, Debbie Kennedy, and everybody else, thanks a lot. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
It's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.